Praise to it. Amen. Good afternoon, everybody. How are you? All right, let's turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord. Oh, you look like y'all weren't ready for that. Say, I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many know you can be a whole lot of other places besides the house of the Lord? And God has blessed you to be here in your right mind. Amen, somebody. Because there's some people out there still haven't found their mind yet. Amen. So tonight we are excited because we are in our series called Fight the Power. And just so you know, I am not a Black Panther. I am trying to let you know that it is. We have to fight the power because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the spirits of rulers of darkness of this place and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an enemy that we cannot see. And so we must know how to fight with that power, with the power that God's placed in each one of us. Tonight, I want you to write this down, and I want you to take this as your takeaway for tonight. I want you to take and write this down. The words I want to say to you are this. God is building inside character, not an outside character. God is building inside character, and not an outside character. You know, there's a lot of friends we have that, you know, they're a character. You know, they can make you laugh. They can make you cry. They're just all kinds of funny and everything else. And that's a character. You ever seen somebody say, man, that's a character? They just get you laughing and joking. And that's an outside character. And that's a persona. But let me tell you something. The thing that God cares most about is not what comes out on the outside, but who you are on the inside. He's building something that cannot be broken with time, something that is more important than the job you have, more important than the clothes you wear, more important than the car you ride, more important than the house you have. So God doesn't care about the temporary. He will take the temporary to build the eternal inside your life. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. You know, I was about to say, somebody say an emergency. Amen. Yeah. God is caring because there's something about this place that we live in called this earth that isn't our home. I want you to know that this isn't our place. This is not where we belong. Maybe you've never confessed Christ as your Savior. But let me tell you something. For a believer, the Bible says before the foundations of the earth, we were thought in the mind of God. Jeremiah says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and ordained you a prophet. Your purpose was in eternity, and he brought you into the earth. But your goal is to get back to eternity. Somebody say amen. Listen, this is the key to everything. The key to everything, that the character that God is building in you isn't so that you can make it here on this earth. You know, here's a struggle. Has anybody ever struggled with trying to find out what your purpose is? Has anybody wondered, God, what am I on the earth for? Anybody ever wondered that question? Anybody ever been there? Let me say this to you. Our next series that we're going to be talking about is Pursue Purpose. And it's going to be giving you clues on how to do that while you're here. But the issue is that the reason you're here is to get you there. Let me give you an illustration. I want you to imagine your life. Your life is very important to God. He cares about you. But I want you to take a look at this piece of red string. See this? This represents your life. Now, I want to do this. This represents your life. But this, would you come here and help me, please? I want you to take this, and on the other side of it is a mark. On the end of it is a mark. I want you to go around this. Start over here. Look at me. Start over here. And I want you to just go with it. Go. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't hit anybody. I have no insurance. Keep going. Keep going. Yes, that's it. That's it. This represents eternity. This represents everything that you're striving to get to, but this is your life. This is the lifespan from birth to death. This is everything. And some people try to do everything in here to make this comfortable, not realizing, glory to God, that eternity is much longer. And your goal isn't to fill this space, but to get ready for that space. You still got rope? Come on, throw it up on the stage. Let me show you something. Throw it up. Just give it to me. See, you get up into heaven and it just keeps going and going and going. But how much of us are stressing and killing our bodies over this space here? When eternity is where we're supposed to be. This isn't everything. Well, you know, if I got to take that vacation, if I don't spend my money, I got to watch where I go. I need to get away now, because if I don't get away, then I won't be able to do what I want. I can't give today, because if I give today, then I won't have enough of that vacation right there. And if I don't have enough, then I'm not going to be happy. Listen, your shoes can't make you happy. Your shirt can't make you happy. I'm telling you, a car can't make you happy. Only God can make you happy. But how many times do we find ourselves stressing over the red stuff? We're wondering, God, ever going to find my purpose? Oh, God, will I have friends? God, will I get a promotion? I can't be used right now. God, I'm too busy, because I got to get here. In life, we struggle. And we wonder why things are hard in our hearts and why we struggle so long. It's because God didn't make you to live on the little red dot. He made you to live for eternity. So what he does in this space is to prepare you for that space. And so he's not worried about your outside character. He cares about your inside character. There's a reason. When we talk about fighting the power, the one key to understand is to know that greater is he that is in us, and the one that is in us is trying to take us with him in the end. That he's given us the ability to have power over all the power of the enemy in this space, so we can live with joy for eternity in this one. But we have to allow God to build our character. Let me show you something. I want you to open up your Bibles, if you will. Philippians chapter 3. And Paul talks about this space that we call this red line here. And he gives a perspective of what this is all about. And I'm just going to lay this here until we talk about it again. But I wanted you to just think about it, that are you living in the red space? Are you living in the space only looking how you're going to survive here? But you haven't thought about the eternal characters that God wants to build in you so you can survive here. How many believe in retirement? How many believe that, you know, being able to have something for yourself and your family when your life is, you know, at its end when it comes to your workplace? How many believe in being able to, you know, stop working one day? That's called your Sabbath day. And the Bible says that the Sabbath day is the day of rest. This, when your life is over, is your Sabbath day. Are you saving for retirement? We have to look. Look what Paul says. I want to walk this, because it's very important. Because when we're fighting the power, we got to know what's important. We can't stress over the small stuff, okay? Look at your neighbor and say, don't stress over the small stuff. Look at him again and say, keep the main thing the main thing. See, we've got to focus on what is actually important. Look at this verse. We'll start at verse 10, and I want you to see how it goes. This is what Paul was saying, his desires, his character, the reason he's on this earth, the reason he's desiring to do what he does, why Paul is so powerful. He said these words. He says that I may know him. This is what he wants, to know more than anything, that I may know him and the power of his what? Resurrection. Meaning, I want to know what's associated with that power that resurrected him from the dead, and the what? Fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable even unto his death. He says, you know what? Here's my desire, that I may know him, that I may know the power, that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings, what he went through. I know I'm walking with him, and that I may be conformed even into his death, while I die to myself, even on this earth. And then look at verse 11. I love this. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Do you see what Paul's goal was? Paul's goal wasn't to be the greatest preacher in the world. Paul's goal wasn't to be the best employee in the world. Paul's goal wasn't even to be the best husband in the world. He wasn't married, but that might help. But Paul's goal was simple. It was that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Let me ask you a question. What's your goal in life? Think about that for a second. If you have a pen and paper, I want you to write down what your goal in life is. Many of us have never thought about it, never considered, well, I'm just surviving. Every day I just get up and find out what happens. But what's your goal? What is it that you're doing with your life? What do you want with your life? Paul made it very clear. I'm going to tell you what I want. I want to, when he comes, I want to be picked up and go to heaven. He's not thinking about earth. He's thinking about heaven. Look at the next verse and let everybody read it together. Let's go. Yes. Oh, I love when we read together. It's so scary. Okay. Listen to what he said. He says, not that I don't ever take it for granted. Wow. Did you hear that? You don't ever take for granted the moment you have now. I don't act just because I believe I'm a Christian or I'm a believer that, hey, I'm in, y'all. It's all good. I got it. This is it. I can go back and do whatever I want, when I want. Listen to me. He does not act or live like that. He doesn't act as if he's perfect. He keeps striving. I haven't attained it yet. And until I attain it, I am keeping in shape that I might win, that I might get it, that I might apprehend. In other words, when you apprehend something, you are chasing something. And the question that bothers me is, for many people, I look at what they're chasing, and they're chasing this small area here. They're running after what, you know, what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink and what they're going to wear and all of these things that don't matter in the long run. It matters. Do you love your enemy? Do you love one another? Do you have something that somebody will say good about you when your time is up? What seeds do you sow in this place so that they can talk about you when you move here? I want to know, what is your goal? What are you seeking to obtain? Listen to what he says here. He says, I don't act like I've already obtained it. But look at verse 13. Read it. Let's go together. Now, you got to forget about your past. Come on, somebody. All the mistakes we make, all the errors that are made, you can't keep looking at this little space right here. Man, I wish I could have lived differently. Man, I wish I could have done that differently. Man, no. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. What's before you, ladies and gentlemen? What is in front of you? Look at what's in front of you. Look at the glory that's going to come to you. Look at the heavens that are waiting for you. The mansion he made for you. Don't look behind and say what I messed up, what I lost. You can have it all. Your goal needs to be looking forward. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forget, meaning take out of your mind. Don't dwell on it. Don't sit there at night, staying up in the middle of the night. God, I messed up. God, I can't do right no more, because you know what? You know, I'm going to keep messing up, and I don't want to go to God no more and apologize over the same stuff. I'm so tired apologizing. He don't want to hear me, and you talk to yourself out of your salvation. Come on, somebody. You know, one thing my pastor told me a long time ago, he said, Steve, you can't sin. And I sat there and was like, oh, I'm in trouble. And he said, Steve, let me tell you why. He says, because when you sin, and I'll never forget, I was in the foyer of our church, and I was just looking out at the stars, and I was actually saying, God, I've messed up. I messed up so much in my life. And he walks up beside me, he says, and looking at the stars with me, he says, Steve, you know, you can't sin. And I looked at him. And he said these words, you can't sin because when you sin, you don't forgive yourself. You dwell on it so much that it keeps you from becoming what you're supposed to be. So you got to make sure you stay right. You're too hard on yourself. See, this is what Paul was saying, is that I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on what I didn't do right. I got to get up and do the right thing. I got to keep moving because there's a goal that I'm actually reaching. Look at this. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and what? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Everyone read together in verse 14. Let's see what he says. Go. What is he pressing for? The mark. Remember I said at the end of this rope, there's a mark. There's a mark for the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. You need to be pressing for what Jesus wants you to be, the ultimate you that you can be. Who is that? Who is the one that has not yielded to the worst of your life, but given over to the best of who you are? God is trying to make you forget about all that stuff that came all in the past. My mama, my daddy, my background didn't have enough. Forget all that. You have Christ in eternity waiting on you. Get up and let God begin to refill your life. Get back in your word. Get back in the fellowship. Get back with the studying and reading. Let him begin to bring you now. If you go off track, just get back on track and chug down the line. Amen. He wants us to know that the greatest gift or the greatest ability of the enemy to stop us is guilt. See, because when a person feels guilty, they will hide from both God and the church. Amen. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I said. Listen, trust me now. When something doesn't go right, or you feel somebody doesn't love you or don't like you, the first thing you're going to do is disappear. Everybody go, disappear. There was an old TV show called, what was that show? It was Barney Miller. Anybody remember that? Only young folk have no idea. And they go, dun, 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 never mind. Anyway, there was a guy on the show who used to always think he could disappear. He would go, and he thought he was gone, and everybody could see him, but in his mind, he was invisible. And every time they walk, he'd go, whenever he got mad or wherever he got sad, he just went. And everyone would look. Listen, sometimes there are people in this church think when you go through something, nobody sees you, you'll go like this, and everybody looking at you. And everybody going, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. What? I ain't seen you at church. Oh, I've been in church. Listen, let me tell you something. Just like on the show, everybody knew you're there. There's something that's going on. And when the enemy's greatest ability to fight the church is to make you look at yourself and not at where you're going or who's going to be there when you get there. And he'll make you have guilt. Ah, it's terrible. I'll tell you how it works. Has anybody ever loaned anybody money before? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, put your hand down if the person you raise the money to is next to you. Lord have mercy. See, that's a problem. Okay, all right. So you remember when you raised, I want you to go back in your life and I want you to think about this. Remember the time you raised money? I mean, you gave money to somebody and they said, I'll pay you back. And didn't, right? Remember? And what did they do when they didn't pay you back? All of a sudden, you can't. Yeah. Oh, there we go. You got it, baby. You got it. You don't see me. I'm gone. You know, like, hey, man, I don't see you at church anymore. Oh, I've just been busy. Guilt. Because they realize, okay, I dropped the ball. I made a mistake. And instead of just getting up and getting it right or just saying, I don't have it, listen, they disappear. And God's saying to you, listen, don't let the enemy make you do one of these numbers. Don't let him do that. You stay in the place God called you. You got to press towards the mark for the prize. There is a prize for all of you in this room. And it's not, listen, I can't run for you. Somebody got to run for you, but you got to run for you. Christ already won the race. He's there with the prize. We have to run at our own pace, what God called us to run. Some of you are sprinters. Some of you are 440 runners. Some of you are long distance runners. You can't think somebody else can run your race. I don't care how much you cheer them on. You ever been to a track meet? Everybody up in the stands, yay! But they ain't running for you. I would love for them to come down and run for me, but they can't run for me. And you can cheer the church on and, yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. But are you running your race? See, everybody has gym shoes on. Is that what they call it down here in the South? Or they call them sneakers. Which is it? I get confused down here. What do they call them? Snickers? Oh, that's what you eat. Sneakers, is that what they call them? I call them gym shoes. I'm from up north. So you have the gym shoes on. Many of you have to, if you're going to fight the enemy, you got to have your gym shoes on. Or Paul put it on, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got to put the whole armor of God on your body if you're going to run this race. You can't stand in this warfare without the whole armor. You got to have the shoes. You have to have the breastplate. You got to have the helmet of salvation. You got to have the sword, which is the word. And you have to have the shield, which is the shield of faith, where you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, here's the reality. The wicked doesn't shoot right at you. They shoot over you. You don't hold the shield in front of you. You got to hold it like this. In old Roman days, they would always do this, and they shoot the arrows up high so you don't see it coming. You're trying to look at the person in front of you and don't know that things in high places are raining down on you. Somebody got to look up every now and then and say, it ain't coming from this person. It ain't coming from this situation. It ain't coming from that person. It's coming from spiritual wickedness in high places. I got to lift my shield and not look at them and go like this and say, God got me covered. You got to have your shield of faith on. Look at your neighbor and say, you have your shield on you? See, you got to have that whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Come on, somebody. What? Stand. And having done all to what? Come on. There's a time in your life. And I love when my voice cracks. I'm still growing. Anyway, there's a time in your life you can't run. Oh. There may be a time you can't run from the enemy. You did everything you could to avoid the situation. You're a good person. And still, the enemy or something happens in your life that derails your life. What do you do when that happens? What do you do when it looks like whatever's outside of you is trying to take over what's inside of you? Paul put it this way, and having done all, stand. Oh my gosh. See, when you see, that's a kingdom thought. That's a thought that's higher than most people think. Because when you understand, all I got to do is stand. If I've done everything I know to do and I've done it God's way, I can't stress about what's happening around me. God must be in the middle of this one. God must be shifting things in my life. You don't default to God's punishing me. No, your default is I'm going to stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to stand. I don't care what you say. I'm going to stand. Come on, somebody. You can't look at the outside and think that that determines your character, because some of the sad things you go through are creating the glad things you're going to come to. Somebody say amen. That's the truth, and it'll set you free. If you can understand that sometimes life isn't meant for you to be happy all the time. Come on. Sometimes if you don't know sadness, how are you going to help somebody else when they go through something? You've got to know God in the midst of your sadness. That's why David wrote it this way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art... Come on, somebody. God didn't take you out of the valley. He met you in the valley. He didn't put you on the mountaintop. He put you down in the valley. What are you going to do there? Ah, oh. Come on, you need to write that down. What am I going to do in the valley? That's the reality of who you are. What a person does when the pressure hits, that's who you are. What you turn to in the midst of your chaos is who you are. Whew. That's a deep thought right there. What you do when things go crazy is who you are. What you do when the enemy comes at you from every side will show who you are. No, listen to me. Listen. Who you are. Not what you have, not your house, not your car, not your clothes, not your fellowship of people you hang around, not your influence or political pull. It will show who you really are. Pressure, they say, bust pipes. And sometimes, if we're not sturdy in God enough, when the pressure comes, no, you got to have it all pressurized so that you could survive what God has for you. I press towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, God is the ultimate end of it all. God is the one you're trying to see. God is the one that can unravel all the mysteries that you thought you'd never understand. And you're wondering, God, I always wondered about that. And God begins to, he's the one who can tell you why you were born the way you were born, why you were set on the earth, why it's the goal. You can't get it from other people. You got to get it from God. Only God knows why your life was tied up in a knot. Only God knows why you suffered for a little while. Only God knows why you had to strain right there when you were straining, because God was creating in you character. He wasn't making a character out of you. He was putting character in you. My God, I have learned over my life that, listen, what we do is the kingdom thought. What you do in the midst of that struggle is the kingdom thought. You know, I went out with Daryl. Daryl is a good friend of mine, and he has cows and horses, and it's been years. I like animals, and I love that kind of stuff. And I asked him, would you let me come out and be a cowboy for a day? Amen. How many want to be a cowboy? Nobody but me. Nobody. Okay. Well, anyway, he let me be a cowboy, a full-blown cowboy. Got my hat and everything, wore my boots and everything. Went out to his house, and he was taking care of some calves. You know, that's when you do some snipping. Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought I was just going to ride horses, you know what I mean? And, you know, smile and you throw a rope around, you know what I mean? And they were doing some real work, you know what I'm saying? And I went out there, and I'll never forget. See, sometimes you've got to know that you got to watch what comes at you. See, because the enemy's trying to take you out. When I was, we would wait for the animal to be taken into this place, and it was like a tunnel. And they come through the tunnel, and then you trap them, and then you could do what you need to do. But there was one animal that was smarter than the rest. And when it came down, it jumped over everything. But I was okay because I was on the other side. I'm like, wow. And his son, and it was only on that side. I'm like, man, that's awesome. I hope he's okay. Son fell down. Thing almost kicked him in the head. And the calf ran off, almost got away. But see, it's just like God. God ain't going to let the enemy get away with what he did to you. Now watch this. While I was standing there, we did everything, and it was time for that calf to come back around. But Daryl, in his deep love of his pastor and sincere hope of my, you know, desire for my welfare, he said, Steve, go on the other side where my son was, because I'm going to bring it through again. And so sometimes God will put you back in a situation where, because God knows, okay, last time you fell down, but this time something's about to change. I'm going to show you how to handle that thing and put it back in its place. Come on, somebody. That calf came running down, and I'm like, oh, I thought he was getting me out of the way. He was putting me in the way. And because I was a big dude now, I was like, and that thing came coming. I'm looking like, what the hell? Jesus in the, and that thing jumped, and I grabbed it in the air like, oh, you ain't going to get me. Ah, ah, get down. I got a video of that, don't we? Got a video of that. Get down in there. And I clipped that thing, boy. I clipped it. Y'all know what I mean, right? Mess with me, I'm going to clip you. That's what I'm going to do. Snip. That's what I'm going to do, devil. Snip. Look at your neighbor and just go like this. Just go like this. Go. Yeah, when the devil comes, just say, I'm going to snip you. I'm going to snip you. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. I didn't realize that in the moment God was putting me in a position to be ready to handle the enemy when he came. Careful, never get me like that again. I don't put nothing past them animals. Them some big dogs. Watch this. Verse 15. So how do we think? Look what it says. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. Listen, how many are perfect in this house? We got one perfect person. Two people. Amen. Amen. I will sit down at this point in the service and I will allow you to have the pulpit. Amen. Hey, you know what perfect means, though? It means mature. It doesn't mean without flaw. It means you are spiritually mature. And it says, let us therefore, as many as be spiritually mature, be this minded. Meaning you got to have this thought in your head. He says, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. He's saying, you've got to have in your mind that God has you in a race that is bigger than what you see. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 27, and we're going to close out here. But I need you to see what you're really in, ladies and gentlemen. That what God's trying to put character in you isn't for the temporary. It isn't because so you can look good now. He wants you to use your strength, your mind, your body, and resources to prepare for eternity. Look what he says here. We're going to start at verse 23. Okay? This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker thereof, what? With you. See, Paul says, there are certain things I got to do in order to be a partaker of the gospel in heaven like you. Everybody has to do their own seek and walk. You can't get it from the pastor. You can't get it by going to a certain church only. You can't get it by just staying in your home alone either. God put us all together as a fellowship to help each other grow and nurture and help build the body itself. But Paul says, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker with you. Look at verse 24. Know ye not, don't you know that they that run in a race run all? Everybody runs. Everybody. But watch this. But only one receives the prize. That's so true. How many can remember who came in second place in the 100-yard dash in the Olympics this year? Exactly. Y'all missed that. Anyway. Nobody remembers second place. Nobody. You only remember who came in first. Look at this. He says this. Know ye not that they which run, run all, but only one receives the prize? So he says this, don't look around you. You run that you may obtain. You can't look at the people around you, whether they're stumbling or whether they're falling through or whether they're achieving. It doesn't matter. You have a race to run. Let me ask you a question. What is it that God is asking you to do now? What do you have in your spirit, in your body, in your nature to help somebody in this room? That is your race to run. Look what it says. Let's read on. Verse 25. Go. Everyone, let's read that together.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things.
What does that mean? Everyone that is striving to be the best has to have balance in the rest. You got to have temperance. That means self-control. Have you ever seen older people? Well, I hate to say it because when I was young, when I used to run, man, when I ran, I used to just, you know how you have your legs and you're sprinting and your legs are coming up and everything and you're running down and you're just booking. But when you get older, have you ever tried to run? You know, think about when it rained and you got to run to your car. You don't even stretch your legs. You're like this. And you're wondering, this ain't how I used to look. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why, these muscles ain't been worked in a long time. They ain't stretched like they're supposed to. But what it's saying in this passage is this. Listen, but the one who runs understands they must stay in condition in order to make it to the end of the race. You've got to keep your limbs supple. You've got to stretch your faith. You've got to keep it going in order for you to run this race. You can't stop working on your life. You've got to continue to strive and work on your character. And I love this. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That's true. But we, an incorruptible crown. So how do you do this? Look at verse 26. He gives us the answer. Read. What does he mean? He says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm in a boxing match. You know, I'm not shadow boxing like this. I'm not doing it. I'm not in my gym, you know, and shadow boxing and trying to, you know, hit in the air. No. That's practice. No, when I used to box, I used to do that. Used to be in the gym, and you throw your jabs and everything all in the air, and you're just beating the air. No. He says, I'm not fighting like that. Look at this. Who is the fight with? Who's the fight? Is it outside? Is it someone out there? No, you've got to know who the fight is actually with in order for you to receive your crown. Who is the person? What is it that you must fight? 27. And we'll close here. Watch this. But what? Under what? Under your body. And what? Bring it into subjection. The word subjection means to pummel it. I can't fight the air. I got to fight my flesh. Because my flesh will get me into a whole lot of mess. Someone say amen. When you're fighting to get to eternity, you've got to control, have temperance in your heart and your life, because God wants you to build that kind of character so that you can make it. You've got to keep yourself under control. Look at this. And he goes on to say, and I keep under my body, meaning I'm under it all the time. I'm on top of it, and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. Whew. I love what Paul says. You know, life isn't about a position. It's about winning and seeing all that you have to live for. Paul says, if I don't keep under myself and make sure I have those balances in my life, self-control, I won't be ready when the calves come. I won't be ready when the red ends. Because we all need to know one day the red will stop and the rest is based on the red. Ladies and gentlemen, what the Lord is trying to say to you is this. Don't get caught up in the temporary. Build your eternal character for eternal purposes. God wants you to have the things that matter. Develop your spiritual walk. Strengthen yourself that when you have to run, you don't run funny. You run strong. Read your word. Read it every day. Get acclimated to your Father to know who He is and what He can do for you. Study the doctrine of Christianity to know who Jesus is and why He came. In a little while, we're going to start small groups, and I want to encourage many of you to pick up and maybe be a leader and teach somebody maybe core. What we taught last time, to teach them about who they know that God is, and to know the doctrines of their faith. Find a time to pray. What's your prayer life like? Prayer prepares you for the trouble and shows you the victory. Prayer life. And finally, guys, fight yourself from staying away. Come and fellowship. I want you to look around you right now and count the spaces between the chairs. Somebody needs to hear Jesus loves them. But you know what? Even more than that, when you look at those spaces, how close are we to one another? We have to be so comfortable in fellowship that we're willing to love one another and stand for the long haul. Build your character inside more than anything else in your life. And I can promise you, you'll never miss the crown. Let us pray. Father,